lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, I think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. My word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Well, good morning, you beloved community. Good to see you today. Welcome to Southwest Central Church of Christ. We are so thankful that you are here today. Glad to see you all. And if you crane your necks to the sound booth, you see our friend Dan Garrett. And he is working all over the United States these days and brought him back today. And we're so thankful to see you, Dan. So thanks for being here. If you are visiting with us, we're also glad that you're here. We hope that you feel especially welcome today. If you're watching online, participating in the life of this congregation that way, thanks for your presence there too. In our worship today, we will encourage one another in faith. We'll break bread. We'll drink from the cup. We will give. We will sing hymns. We'll read and we'll hear. Sometimes during my welcomes, I'll have you stand up and greet those who are around you. We're going to do something a tad different today. In just a moment, I will have you stand. And what I would like you to do is just, actually, let's do that now. Let's stand, please. Instead of walking around and greeting one another, while I am talking these next 30 seconds, I invite you just to look around this auditorium, see each other, look them in the eyeballs, give thanks to God for the people that you see, that you recognize, that you know the names of, that God has brought them here today. God sees you, God sees them too. We give thanks to God for that. I'm going to light our Christ candle, which reminds us each week that Christ is indeed among us and in you. Then from there, I will read from Psalm 13. Let's remain standing for the songs that follow. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. My foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Let's worship in song together.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises. standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not waver walking by faith. He will be strong to deliver me safe. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Let's remain standing, please. Let's remain standing, please. Would you join me and the Lord's Prayer this morning? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power, the glory forever. Amen. Let's be seated, please.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all, and Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy strength, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind. Hear, O Israel, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy strength, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind. Hear, O
Now, looking at this next song, the words may look unfamiliar, but it is a very familiar tune. This is "Come the Fount of Every Blessing." So, same old tune, different words.
Come away from rush and hurry to the stillness of God's peace, from our vain ambitions worry, come to Christ to find release. Come away from noise and glamour, life's demands and frenzied pace. Come to join the people gathered here to seek and find God's face. In the pastures of God's goodness, we lie down to rest our soul. From the waters of God's mercy, we drink deeply and made whole. At the table of God's presence, all the saints are richly fed. With the oil of God's anointing, into service we are led. Come then, children, with your burdens, life's confusions, fears, and pain. Leave them at the cross of Jesus. Take instead his kingdom's reign. Bring your hungers, for he will quench them. All alone will satisfy. All our longings find attainment. Then to self we gladly die.
Our reading this morning is from the 10th chapter of Luke, beginning in the 10th verse. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you were set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day? When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing.
All right, our Roots friends can head to the back table if they would like to join Miss Chelsea there. Pat, thank you for reading so beautifully today. Andrea, thank you for leading us in singing as always. Let's pray together, please. By your grace and your goodness, O God, we gather today, and so we give you thanks. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? For it's through Christ that we pray and do all things. Amen. When she walks into a room or through a crowd or down the aisle at the farmer's market, it's difficult not to stare. You want to look but not get caught. You'd like a peek but not be obvious about it. You're curious but don't want to seem creepy. It's not that she causes a scene. It's that her presence is different than everyone else's presence. And that makes her an object in their eyes, a thing more than anything else. She didn't ask for the attention. She didn't crave it, didn't want it. But she's used to it by now, been like this for a long time. When your body looks like a capital letter L flipped upside down, rubberneckers are going to notice. Adults may pretend not to gawk, but children, there is no pretending. They will bore holes with their eyes through somebody given the chance, studying this mysterious sight. Two Sundays ago, I woke up with two scratches in prominent locations. A 2-inch one on my forehead and a 1-inch one below my left eye. I'm not sure what I was dreaming about that made my fingernails scrape me up like that, but I'm positive it was a grand adventure. At the children's and teens' back-to-school party after Bible classes, I grab some pizza and avocado and sit next to Bella Niles, who, as soon as I sit down, proceeds to ask me, "What happened to your face?" Thank you, Bella. When Cora was younger, there were times when she and I were walking through a store and we'd come across a person in a wheelchair, one leg steering them onward, the other leg missing altogether, with their jeans pinned up near their hip. While she wanted to stop and watch, I would just grab her hand and keep us going. I don't know if I did that so that they would not feel uncomfortable, or if it was me who was the awkward one. Just the other day, we walked past a gentleman with a shriveled left arm and his fingers were the size of jelly beans. I know that she saw him, and while she is past the age of blatant staring, she, like me, is not past the stage of wondering. Maybe this woman from Luke 13 was born with problems in her vertebrae. Maybe it happened over time, maybe it came through a sudden accident, but she has been doubled over for so long at this point, it's hard for her to remember what it was like before, if she has any memories at all of better days and straighter backs. for 18 long years. She's had to labor to see the stars, the treetops, the moon, head tilted down as it is, unable to lift it up without a struggle. Dirt and shoes and floorboards have been her vision, thanks to the violent curves of her spinal column. Diagnose it however you will, a deformity, a disability, a genetic disposition. But this woman of 18 or 48 or 88 years undoubtedly lives with chronic pain. Chronic pain is something many of you know intimately yourself. Or chronic sadness, or chronic anxiety, or chronic fatigue. Her pain may be persistent, but it's not debilitating, because she's here in this synagogue. She's not at home, propped up in bed, feet on top of a cushion to ease the discomfort. And I have here in mind our sister, Dot Beckett, who passed away 12 and a half years ago. I don't know what Dot was like in her younger years, like some of you did, when she could run and jump and dress and pick up children. I only knew her during her final 3 years, and by then her own back had already become a shepherd's crook. But that did not stop her from showing up to church every single Sunday, or inviting Chelsea and me to the Beckett house for a meal, or smiling, and this picture is one of my favorites. I myself never heard her complain, but I did see her cry, tears forming at the sides of her eyes. We remember Dot today, and our memory of her is a blessing. And we honor you, Nelson, who loved her and cared for her to the end. Thus far, I have been taking liberties, imagining this woman in the synagogue, of course. Other than her condition, we know nothing about her. We don't know her name, her family situation, her background. We don't know if she has arrived alone. Is she with a spouse, children, siblings? Does the whole community know her? Or is she a visitor in town for experimental medical treatment? We don't know her stage of grief. Is she at acceptance or anger? We don't know what old prayers she used to pray back when her back started ratcheting itself down, or what newer ones she prays regarding the healing that never came. Some of the most courageous and faithful people I know are persons who have not been healed from illness, from sickness, from circumstance, who cry out with the psalmist, "How long, O Lord? How long are you going to forget me?" And yet still say, as we did 20 minutes ago, "But I will trust in your unfailing love." What I am fairly certain of is this. This woman is not seeking anyone's pity. She's not looking for sympathy. She's not requesting help, not even from Jesus, assuming she knows who he is. What this woman is here for is worship. Like Dot, she has come to worship God. Whether she shows up out of routine or out of a deep desire to give glory and honor to God, it does not matter. She is present. Jesus, who goes to synagogue because it's his custom, sees her, stops his teaching, calls her to him. Would have been easier for him to go to her, but when Jesus calls you, It means you've got a choice to make and a step to take. And she makes it and takes it and moves toward him, always a good idea. Jesus initiates it all. The woman doesn't ask, doesn't seek, doesn't knock. She only receives. She responds to him. Dear woman, you are released from your ailment. You are set free, Jesus says directly to her. He then lays his hands gently upon her, and her back pops and straightens, her spine arranging itself back into place. And what does she do next? She praises God. She dances for joy. She joins the choir of altos and sopranos in this gospel who cannot hold their voices back any longer. Elizabeth and Mary and Anna and Peter's mother-in-law and the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' robe. All of them and more praising God for God's faithfulness and nearness. This woman's healing becomes a sign to a greater truth. Jesus' mission, his purpose, which we have repeated time and time again for 3 months, and we speak aloud once more. Would you join me, please, this Jesus' pronouncement? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When Jesus preached that sermon back in chapter 4, he was in synagogue and it was on a Sabbath. Had he stopped with these verses, everything would have been just fine. His audience pleased, but he proceeded to elaborate, giving a controversial homily about how persons you don't think truly belong to God's family are indeed folded in, smack in the middle of God's goodness. As a result, Jesus is nearly killed prematurely by an angry mob who are furiously convinced that Jesus is flat out wrong. By the time we reach the pews of today's lesson, we are not strangers to synagogues and Sabbaths, because Jesus experienced both with regularity and with animosity, our antennae go up. We are expecting some kind of dispute. And I'll say this. Despite having a long list of reasons to abandon both, I appreciate that Jesus has not given up on the synagogue or the Sabbath, both of which he knows are vital to the faith life of his people and to himself and to creation itself. I also appreciate that Jesus has not given up on the church or our Sundays, despite having a surplus of motivations to ditch both. Jesus keeps on pursuing us, calling us out, pruning us, changing us, sanctifying us, and sending us out. The same cannot be said about the synagogue leader, however. He is upset because Jesus has healed on the Sabbath. Not supposed to do that. Don't do that. The leader didn't make up the rule. It's been commanded to the Israelites and Jews for hundreds of years. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep The Sabbath day, it's a good rule. It's a right rule. So no one should be surprised when the synagogue leader says, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. Notice, he doesn't say it to Jesus' face, though. He says it to his congregation, as in a warning to them, a cautioning to the crowd of impending reprimand if anyone else comes forward. It's also an underhanded way to tell Jesus to stay in his own lane. What you all just saw, that is not how we do things in this neck of the woods. Never mind that one of his own parishioners was just miraculously healed and is now lifting holy hands to the God who created both her and him. Any pastor or priest should be thrilled to behold something like that. But this leader is tasked with preserving order, to follow directions, to restrain rather than permit. Do not work. He's fine that she's in synagogue. It's just that she's disrupting Bible class. Tomorrow is a perfectly good time to come back and get healthy when we're not so preoccupied. She could have done that. She is not in imminent danger. Her back was bent, as it had been for at least 6,570 days. What's 24 more hours? She could have met up with Jesus on Sunday. That's reasonable. Could have planned and prepared. Hey, the synagogue leader could even attend if he wanted to. And then include her as an object lesson in next week's sermon. How fun would that be? Whether this person has any evil intent in his heart, or if he is susceptible to mild cases of jealousy, I cannot say. But his control of the Sabbath practice is a convenient way to maintain status quo. But some of those practices are causing the suffering of his own people. It's not hard to tell someone else to be patient when the rules don't directly affect the person enforcing the rules. He is not the one with the twisted back. She is. Can you hear echoes of Martin Luther King's pen scratching out a familiar phrase from his Birmingham jail cell? We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Frankly, I have yet to engage in a direct action campaign that was well-timed in the view of those who have not suffered unduly from the disease of segregation. For years now, I have heard the word wait. It rings in the ear of every Negro with piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. We must come to see that justice too long delayed is justice denied. Just wait, your time will come, the oppressed were told by their oppressors. Just wait, your time will come, the leader of the synagogue says. No, Jesus says, the time is right now. You hypocrites. Same word Jesus used last week. Each Sabbath, every one of you unties your cow or donkey from its stall, leads it out for water, and thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan has had her tied for these 18 years? They made concessions for their thirsty farm animals, but could not do so for their own chronically weary people. That approach dishonored the Sabbath by making the calendar more important than the woman. The Sabbath was made for people, Jesus once said elsewhere. People were not made for the Sabbath. When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. While I do wish that certain modern-day persons that are hostile to wholeness would be shunned in humiliation and disgrace, that is not Jesus' goal. He is about the work of his mission from God, his declared pronouncement, which we have heard and heard and heard. The woman who cannot stop giving thanks to God is a recipient of that embodied pronouncement, as are we. And whether for her that means a proclaimed freedom to the prisoners or a freedom from the oppressed, you can decide. But whichever one you pick, there is a loosing that Jesus brings. The point is that when Jesus shows up, things change. People are healed. Sabbath finds a home. Places of worship are reimagined. And praise is heard. From the individual made whole, from the congregation who are witnesses, and if I can add, from the donkey itself who now gets to drink deeply. Where Jesus is, there is the kingdom he pronounces. Today is the day, now is the time, and here is the place. Thanks be to God. And together we say or we type, amen and amen. Let's stand as we sing in worship together.
Had it not been the Lord who is on our side, had it not been the Lord who is on our side, the anger of the enemy would have swallowed us alive, had it not been the Lord who is on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the water would have engulfed us, we would have surely died, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord.
Be seated, please. Ken has asked to come and share a word with you and come and say something. So Ken, come on up here, please.
We may not have Jesus in the year 2022 to be amongst us to heal people in pain, but I thank God we are privileged to have the most modern medicine to help people in their pain. Don has been in severe pain for the last week, crying, hurting. I took her to the emergency room Monday night, and they were pumping all kinds of medicine into her, and she was still crying. So they admitted her. She's been in Methodist most of the week in terrible pain, and they've been trying several things. It's a back problem, a bone problem in the back, and the pain has gone to the thigh. That's where the pain is. They've kept her doped up most of the week, but the pain was still coming and going. I think they may have released her today. They may have it under control. Thursday she's scheduled for bone surgery. So I would just like to give thanks to God for our modern medicine. Oh Lord, thank you for our modern medicine facilities. And I live just 30 minutes from the best bone specialist in the country. Pray for the success of this surgery Thursday. Oh Lord, I don't know what I'd do without Dawn. She's a tremendous help to me. Physical, and other ways, all kinds of ways of encouragement. So thank you, Lord, thank you for our doctors and our hospitals to bring her back to be with me, because it would be very difficult to live without her. I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ken, and we add our prayers to your own this morning and in the week to come. We surround you and we surround Don. Thank you. We'll let that word lead us to the table today, where the bread has already been broken, where the cup has already been poured, both on our behalf. For those who are present here, for those who are watching online, for those even from their hospital room who cannot join us today. As we do, if some of you would be interested to come and help me share the bread and the cup to the congregation at large, you can do that after I pray. Just come forward and join me at the table, please. Let's pray. We do indeed add our prayers to Ken for our sister Dawn, that you will not only take care of her body, but also her soul, her heart. We love Dawn, and we entrust her to you today. Thank you for this body that meets here, and as we repeatedly do, we entrust this body to you as well. Thank you for the goodness, for the wholeness that we find in it. Thank you for the brokenness and the weakness that it displays too, for your power is surely shown in our weakness. Thanks now for the gift of this table that Jesus invites us to when we eat and drink together with him. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, you now have an opportunity to give as we have been given. Alex and Glenn will walk around with some offering trays if you have something to put in there. Some of those cards that were up on the screen and in the back of your chairs, you can put those in there. If you have a tithe or contribution to give, you can do that. You can give online, bring it to the office. And thank you as always. Let's pray together, please. For what you give and how you give and why you give, we give you thanks today. And so we want to emulate you in those ways too. So thanks now for this opportunity. And with what is given, we pray that, as always, it would help to make your kingdom come and your will be done in this place, just as it is in heaven. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. I want to show you, it's next slide, just to let you know, office is closed tomorrow for Labor Day. This is a picture that was taken this last Wednesday at a Reach to Teach. So a couple weeks into the summer, all of our Reach to Teach group, we went to the zoo, to the Houston Zoo. And one of the tasks that one of our volunteers gave to all of our students was to choose one of the animals that you see and prepare a project on it that you can then share to Reach to Teach, to the Reach to Teach family. And so that happened last Wednesday. Some of our students talked about lions, caracals, is that how you say it? What else? Yeah, I'll get to that one. Snakes, and several other animals. You can think of some. Cora got up and talked about passenger pigeons, which are extinct, sadly. But she did a great job presenting that, as did all of our Reach to Teach students. As I mentioned last week, Reach to Teach is our Wednesday night mentoring and tutoring program that that started up again in earnest, helping with homework and studying for tests, those kind of things, this last Wednesday after kind of a summer time of fun and not doing school stuff. But that is ongoing. Just wanted to make you aware of that. And if any of you are interested in jumping into that, we definitely have a place for you. Steve handed me these pictures right before service. This is from last week's fellowship meal that we shared together was a celebration for Megan Vaughn, her arrival, to be with us and in the Vaughn family. So thanks for being a part of that last week. That was a great joy to do so. Thursday Bible class continues this Thursday, 10:30 a.m. It happens both in person and on Zoom. If you want to be a part of that via Zoom, King is your connection. Sunny Glen Children's Home is coming in a week and a half or so to pick up these following items: pasta sauce, canned veggies, and tuna fish. You can place all of that back in the barrel in the lobby. Impact. We are providing lunch for the Impact Church of Christ on September 25th. Do you have any information or just calendar date for now? Okay, calendar date for now. This is September 25th, so in about 3 Sundays, this will take place, and we'll share more information with you when we have it. Before we get to Bible class, two folks I want to make mention of. You see in your bulletin, Viva Savage, which a former member here, Steve, talked about her last week. She recently passed away, and her memorial service information is in your bulletin. It's in the chapel. Okay. Okay, First Baptist Church Chapel. Okay, gotcha. And then Martha Watson texted me earlier this morning to let us know that former member Will Greer, his wife died on August 15th. They had moved to Louisiana to be closer to family when his wife got Alzheimer's. And she asked that we announce that today during Family Matters. Okay, you see up on the screen, Bible classes are happening all over this building. Am I correct that Revelation, that are you still going on that? What is the topic now? Ezra and Nehemiah here in the auditorium, and we'll get that updated for you. But here in the auditorium, that's the new class. You see all the others going on around the building, and we hope that you can stay for one of these smaller community groups immediately after we dismiss here. Well, would you stand, please? Would you receive this benediction, this sending out? When Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, there appeared a woman with a spirit that had been crippled for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "You are set free from your ailment." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Go and do likewise this week. Go forth in peace and purpose. Yes, sir.